Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Nathan, you know what it's like to be a car journalist?
I've been doing this for 2 decades, so yeah, kind of, sort of, and there's ups and downs.
So today we're going to give you a peek behind the curtain of what it's like to do our job, which, you know, I think is the best job in the entire world.
I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think that this is an amazing job, but what a lot of you guys don't know is that there's actually a lot of work. We're not just jumping behind the wheel and having a great time and driving all these different cars. Okay, we're doing that as well. But there's a lot of their logistics, there's a lot of things that go wrong, and I think in today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about some of that.
Yeah, I just came back from the Infiniti QX80 program. They're called programs because, well, we'll go into that, but that was that had some hiccups, so I think you'll be entertained by my misery, and then we'll kind of let you know why and how and what we do when we're invited to go test drive a new car in a beautiful location like Sonoma, except yesterday it was 100 degrees, dude.
Okay, well, you know, you're wearing the right shirt for it.
I am.
For those of you listening, he's wearing a really awesome, almost Hawaiian shirt. So let's explain exactly what a program is and what these events are, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and you're going to hear from people, especially people with sour grapes, saying that we're getting paid for testimony because we're being brought to Sonoma and these really beautiful places, and you're absolutely right.
So I'm going to tease something, Nathan. At the end of the podcast, we're going to tell you what car Steve bought. I just got off the phone with him.
Oh, his buddy. Yeah. So in the last or in a previous podcast, his best friend Steve from Chicago was curious about buying the car. He's not a car guy. And so we actually had him on the phone here, and we
gave him some advice.
Yeah, gave him some good advice, and then he bought a car. So we're going to hear about what it is.
Let you know what he did. And then, of course, we've got a Patreon who sent us a question, so we'll answer that as well.
We'll hit that in a little bit.
All right, so let's keep going. What's the program?
Okay, so what happens is that the automakers, for the most part, want to bring out all of the automotive journalists and influencers nowadays out to an area where they control the environment. They don't want you necessarily just to have the vehicle like we get and drive it around and then come up with our own opinion. It's a lot easier for them to bring us out and then give us the full behind the scenes, or in their cases, you know, the publicized information that they want you to hear. So in other words, they'll bring us out, decent hotel, usually very nice hotel.
Four Seasons.
Four Seasons. They don't even allow me in there. I'm kidding. And what they'll do is, the event usually is about a 24-hour thing. Sometimes it's 48 hours, where they'll bring you in, and they'll feed you, and the next day, bright and early, they'll do a product presentation. That product presentation usually has to do with a couple mouthpieces talking about how the company's doing, how their profits are doing, and then eventually they'll get to the car and have experts or the people who built the car.
I actually had a good conversation with them, the lead designer, Japanese dude. For Infiniti, who helped design the vehicle. And by the way, the new Infiniti QX80, we used to call the old one the Happy Hippo because it had kind of hippo ears and kind of fun open eyes. The new one's very sexy. So, you know, kudos to Infiniti for building a really sexy-looking three-row SUV.
Yes, we can't talk about driving impressions in this or a few other things, but essentially it's not really about the QX80. That video is coming.
Yes, it'll be up. Well, it's up. You can go watch it. And actually, in that video, I said, come listen to this podcast if you want to know why I had to shoot the car with the bike. And if you look, Nathan, there is police tape all around me in that picture.
Yeah, I see it.
So there was a reason that I had to end up shooting it. You can't see the bike in that thumbnail picture. I hid the bike behind the car, but there's a little tiny bicycle there that you can see, and I could not move it and we'll go into that for a very specific reason. Like I said, it was full of hiccups yesterday. You were saying that they invite us.
So they invite us, they do the product presentation, they kind of bring us up to speed with the vehicle and the company.
And okay. Then they talk about who the buyer is potentially.
Mm-hmm. You know, the demographics of the vehicle, the pricing of the vehicle, and then the competition. Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers, I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about
a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your car. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your car, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your car hassle-free and fast, go to tflcar.com and click Sell Your Car in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
So all of that usually is in the early presentation. Then they'll sometimes pair you up, which in this case, Roman was paired up with a European dwarf? No.
Nick Miles.
No, Paddington Bear.
He's not. Nick Miles is a friend of mine. It was a great
Nick's
pairing.
A great guy.
I love working with him. He does TV, actually.
Yeah, he's with Fox and affiliates.
Is that still a thing, Nick? I didn't think that was a thing.
he does some TV. Nick's a great guy. Actually, Nick and I get along quite well because he has a thing for saving dogs that need sheltering. I love that.
Yeah.
But Nick was partnered with Roman. Both of them were basically one-man band, so they were shooting their own material on their own in order to create content. Now, this in itself is a bit of a difficulty because we're used to and we're faster with and more effective with having our camera people come with us. This is just the facts. Some people are faster on their own. We're not. So the thing is that Roman was sent, poor guy, out to Sonoma and was paired with Nick. Now, what do you do? This is where things get a little weird because it depends on the automakers. In some cases, they just say, take the vehicle, you've got 3 hours, do what you got to do. Here's some spots you could film in, and that's great. Because for video, it takes extra long. It's not like doing photojournalism.
Yeah, so when we started doing this, it was all about driving the car. And then our print colleagues would, of course, either take pictures, or some of them wouldn't because the manufacturer takes pictures. So on this program, they actually had videographers that Nick utilized. And so they'll send you, and I got the email, they'll send you a link with all of the video assets.
Yeah, which we don't use.
Which we don't use because the reason we don't use them is if you can see the same video on this channel as our competition, why would you come to this channel? So we always shoot our own stuff. It's just kind of an old news trick to make sure that your stuff is unique. Usually, like I say, they the best programs are when they're like, here, take the car. Here's some suggested places you can drive and see for lunch.
Get the hell out of here and then come back. And when
this,
you're
this wasn't like that. This, they had a route that we had to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where it got interesting. So the night before, there are a couple of things that if you're listening to this and you're one of our competitors, then you're going to learn all of my secret tricks.
So, secret tricks, here we go. Yeah,
so we don't want to shoot dark cars because if we put the car on the thumbnail or we try to shoot it, it just hides all of the interesting design language.
Yes, and the darker it gets, the more reflective it gets, which makes it even harder to film.
Because it'll film the videographer. So if you see somebody shooting a black car that's very clean, because these cars are always clean, it's a mirror in essence, and you'll mm-hmm. see the videographer in this, and that's just horrible. It's like amateurville. So usually the night before, I try to get one of the more poppy colors. And mm-hmm. by poppy, it's just bright colors. So yellow, reds, light blues.
Magenta.
Dark. Yeah, exactly. And I happened to be paired up with Nick, which was great. So I didn't usually, when I'm paired up with a journalist, like a print journalist, we're kind of at loggerheads because they need to drive the car. I need to park it and film it. Mm-hmm. Exact opposite things. But Nick is also a video guy, so he gets it.
He gets it, yeah.
So the night before, I was talking to the team, and I'm like, and here's the other thing, Nathan. This car came out at the New York Auto Show 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have done walkarounds. I mean, there's a lot of walkarounds of the car already on YouTube. And I wanted to do something unique, something that would give you guys some reason to watch the video because it's more than just another walk around. And some very good people have done walk around. I think the Car Confection guys got like 200,000 on there because they already got it at the dealership.
Yeah,
that's always another also, problem. That's also...
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax.
That's a pain.
So I'm having dinner and the team's like, hey, by the way, just so you know, we have the old car. And I was like, oh my God, I could
previous
do,
generation.
Yeah, I could do, and it's been around for like 14 years, so mm-hmm. that is an old car. So I'm like, wonderful, I could do an old versus new, which is one of the styles of videos, and people like looking at the differences between the old one and the new one.
That's something we do a lot of.
Yeah, if you want to compare or if you want to upgrade your car, it's hard to do that unless you have both the old generation and new generation. And they're like, great. And I'm saying, how long is the program? And they're like, well, it takes about, I think it was like 7 or 8 hours. So they'll be back at the hotel at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then at 6 o'clock was dinner. And what we'll do is we'll have the old one and the new one parked next to each other. All yours, good to go. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I've never had such a wonderful program. And then it got better, Nathan.
Mm, okay.
So that would have been the pre-embargo video. Yeah. So an embargo is basically a contract that we sign saying that we won't talk about anything they say we can't talk about. And the reason they do that is allow all the journalists to have the story published at the same time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, although a lot of people blow that embargo.
They can, yeah. And sometimes stuff leaks.
Yes.
And stuff gets blown. But the problem is, from our perspective, if I just do a regular drive impression embargo video, it's going to come out at the exact minute that everybody else is new. So there's going to be like Autoblog, you know, there's going to be 15 YouTube channels, Car and Driver. And you're kind of like in a storm of QX80 content, and you're not going to get a lot of like attention.
Right. And, you know, part of the deal of what we do is in order for us to actually make a buck, we need people to click on the video. So having it depends on the vehicle, but in some cases, waiting or having content before and after can be helpful.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is incredible. We've got the competing vehicles. Mm-hmm. They had an Escalade and I forget what else it was. And I'm like, can I do a video with them? And they're like, yeah, that's what they're here for. So I'm thinking to myself, I can do a comparison video. And usually the way that it works on YouTube is the more cars in the thumbnail, in other words, the more competing cars, the more views you get.
Yep.
So one car is 1X, two cars is 2X, three cars is 3X.
Of course.
So 50,000, 100,000, 50. So I'm like, wow, this is incredible. I get to do an old versus new pre-embargo, and then I'm going to be smart and do a comparison video. And so usually when I go on these programs, you know this, is you're super nervous because they're forcing you to drive like 300 miles and you're trying to find a place to film in between like doing lunch and, you know, and then you've got two people competing for the same car. And it's super, super stressful because you're trying to get your stuff done while they're trying to get their stuff done. But I'm with my best buddy, Nick. I got all of my stuff lined up. I'm like, I'm golden.
Yeah.
So we get in the car and we drive like an hour and a half to this parking lot that you see on the thumbnail behind us, right? And what one of the things that the car does is it has this camera system, which allows you to – remember how Nissan did the first bird's eye view?
Yeah.
Well, they've taken it to the next step. And I think I don't want to break the embargo, but it allows you to sort of kind of see stuff that you can't see with just your naked eye. So the reason that old car was there and the bike was there is because with the new car's camera system, even with your eye, if you can see that, the car will allow you to see that.
Gotcha.
And so it was very specifically – set up so that you could not move it because they had this demo of this new camera system. And if you move that car, it would mess up like where the bike was, which would mess up what you could see.
Right, so that's a demo setup right there, in other words.
Yeah,
it's a static setup that they do not want you moving.
And there were, you know, they had 20 journalists. So there were, I think, 18 cars or 10 cars. So two people per car. Sorry, 18 journalists. So 9 cars. And then everybody had to go through the demo. So you can't film a video when you're doing this video trying to compare the old versus new because people have to go through it. And then, of course, you got to get back on the road and drive to the lunch spot.
Right.
So,
and the reason why it's not a question of Roman having must have lunch. It's a question of
– I don't care about lunch.
It's swapping vehicles or swapping drivers. There's all these requirements that there are hoops that we have to jump through in order to make the automakers happy about the event.
Well, they want to promote their – you know, and where it's their program, their rules. So – I would love to like just show up and be like, hey, can I take the car and piss off somewhere? But that's not going to happen.
One time, Roman and I did at a Toyota event, and the phone kept ringing. Remember that one?
I remember, yeah.
They just would not leave us alone. Yeah. We were just trying to film the car.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like they go out of their way to make it very hard to do a video. It's gotten better over the years, especially in the early days when it was all for print. It was really hard.
Yeah, we'll get to that too in a minute. Let's continue with the story.
So then I drive to lunch, and by the time I get to lunch, it's like 2 o'clock. I mean, we're driving a long way, right? We're driving a couple hundred miles, I think.
Right.
And then I'm like, normally I would go film the car at lunch, and the lunch was at this beautiful winery on the top of a hill. Incredible overlook. So I'm like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you can film the car there. But I just didn't want to do the regular review that everybody was doing. I want to do something different and unique. And so I'm like enjoying lunch with Nick. And then they had the new car. The old car has a Bose stereo system. The new car is a Klipsch stereo system.
Klipsch. Okay.
So they have this demo up at the winery where what it does is I can call you from the car. Mm-hmm. And I've got the music blaring. I've got AC/DC going, which you love, but you won't hear it.
I won't hear you, or I won't
you'll hear me, but you won't hear the music.
But I want to hear the AC/DC.
You won't hear it.
Oh, well, that's not good.
And I will hear you because they've got speakers embedded in the headrest right behind your ears.
So it's directed sound and it's directed.
Yeah, okay. And sound cancellation. So you can't hear the music, and I can hear you perfectly, even though Back in Black is, you know,
playing on the
radio very loud. And they showed that. They had a guy outside with a phone, and you would sit in the seat, and then you'd have this phone call.
Okay.
And I'm normally I would film it, but I'm like, well, the problem with that is we're going to get a copyright strike because, of course, the music they're playing, I can't.
Right. Unless we're, you know, going to contact Angus Young
and ask him permission.
Hey, listen, we need some permission just to put this 15 seconds up there.
Yeah, they would. I'm not sure. I'm sure AC/DC wouldn't be
late. They might say no.
No. Anyway, so then finally, we're about to drive back now. It's 2:30 and dinner's at 6, and they need the cars back by 6. Actually, they need the cars back by 5 because they got to go wash them and refuel them for the next wave.
Right.
So the next wave was a Mexican and Canadian wave. So there were Mexican and Canadian journalists there. So now, you know, time's getting short, but I'm like, if we get back by 3, I'll have 2 hours and I can knock this out in 2 hours.
Sure.
So a lot of pressure is starting to build. I'm starting to get nervous. I'm like, Nick, we got to go. And Nick is wonderful. He was like, you know what? You can, because now we're fighting for the car because he wanted it as well. And he's like, there's a stationary car that was like set up like in the courtyard of the Four Seasons. And he's like, I can do my stand-ups from there. And while I'm driving, I could do my driving impressions. I'm like, you're the best, Nick. And so we're about to leave for the hotel. It's like 2:30 right now. And one of the team that handle car wranglers comes to me and he says, oh, by the way, Roman, that old car, it's gone. We took it away.
So that's not what we're looking at here. This is a different one. This is the static one.
Yeah.
The one that you could have driven and done stuff with is gone.
It's gone. It's gone.
And why is it gone?
They needed to take it. You know, they don't ever tell you, right? The reasons are not apparent. They're opaque. And he goes, and by the way, the old car, the competing cars, they're gone. So now I've got 2.5 hours to film a review. And I know this sounds like a first world problem, but you know, we take our job seriously. Yeah. We want to provide the best review that we can for you guys. And I'm like starting to panic. And I start to think to myself, there is that static car that, you know, I could potentially use. Could I use that? And the Wrangler goes, yeah, you can use that, but you can't move it. And by the way, we've got security and there's police tape all around it, which is not exactly the ideal.
Yeah.
And there's a bike there that it's blocking
on the other side of the vehicle.
Blocking the driver door. And you can't move that either. I mean, you can't move it. I'm like, can I move it and put it back? No, it's exactly set up the way it is. So then we have to drive back to the hotel to drop Nick off so he could do his stuff.
Right.
And then I have to drive an hour and a half back to that demo site through now traffic, California Sonoma traffic.
In order to get this video
and
shot.
Now, by the time I get there, I notice that the temperature is creeping up, and by the time I get there, it's 100 degrees. there was like a guard there. He was passing out. He was like, dude, what are you doing in the sun? And I'm like, I got to So, you know, I'm like, can I move the – and he's like, yeah, you can move the tape. And so I had to move all the police tape because that thing was all taped off. And then I was able to put the cars nose to nose, and I was able to film like a 23-minute comparison video. That was as good as I could do with the bike there. The bike is in the entire video. I couldn't move it.
It's okay. You're a bike guy. I think it's okay.
Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, now it's like, you know, so it's like 3. So now it's 4:30 and I got to be back by 5, but it's an hour and a half back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, nothing I can do. You guys took the old car away. So as I'm driving back, having, you know, like sweated and having stressed about this video. And of course, you know, you also have to kind of be intelligent. So luckily I'd learned all the facts about the car. And as I'm driving back, they start calling me, where are you? I'm like, I'm trying to do my job. And they're like, we need the car back. And I'm like, yeah, I needed the old car.
Yeah.
So I got back like an hour after I was supposed to get back, but there was no way I could have made it to that car and back. So it was quite the stressful day. And if you watch the video, you might see some of that exasperation, you know, in me. So I never got the comparison video. I got one video. And what's frustrating is when a car comes out, we're not really there to like do a serious review because let's face it, Nathan, when we get a car in Colorado, we get it for a week.
Yeah.
And you'll get the car and you'll like absolutely hate it and you live with it and you're like, you know what? This isn't as bad.
Right. Over time, we can figure it out and feel it out.
Yeah.
Which gives us much more, you know, knowledgeable perspective.
Yeah, a thoughtful perspective. Yeah. Or vice versa. You can love the car, and by the end of the week, you're like, this thing sucks.
Yeah.
And so these are more kind of coming out party, right? The car's being introduced. So we're basically just trying to show you what's interesting about the car and what's not interesting and what's new and what's not new. And so we're kind of on the same page as the manufacturer. So it's super frustrating when it's like, you know, guys, I'm just trying to, you know, thank you for flying me out here, letting me drive the car. And we're not paid. There's no money that exchanges hands. But we are put up in a nice hotel. They do pay for our tickets. So there is, I'd be lying if I'm saying, you know, there wouldn't be some gratefulness for that. We are grateful.
Well, what we do is we do our job. And also, I'm going to say it straight out, we do our job better than a lot of other people. We get out there, we often go, we'll work through lunch, work through dinner, whatever's necessary. Well,
you do what you need to do, yeah.
We do what we need to do. And Roman and I, from day one, have always been, get the work done, get the video done, and do it our way. And we do. Unfortunately, one of the problems, and I was saying I was going to come back to this, is that these events, in many cases, are put together by individuals who are thinking about print journalism, which no longer is as relevant as it used to be. I'm being honest.
No, it isn't. I love...
Look at all the magazines that are disappearing and whatnot. Going online. People are watching videos. Short attention span rules. I mean, that's the deal. And that's one of the reasons I think that we're still able to stay afloat. But the bottom line is that print journalism, which is what I used to do, by the way, when you do that, you do not need to go by the camera 6 or 7 times after you jump out of the vehicle and try to film it. You don't need to set up cameras in order to film things. You don't need to find, like Roman did, a place where he can actually put the cars together and do a video where he walks around and covers all the details. All of that is completely unnecessary, and as such, they don't factor in that time more often than not.
And then this time they didn't allow us to bring a videographer, but they had this great video team, which I actually loved, and they were like, Roman, we'll be waiting for you when you get to the hotel, because it's much easier if I don't have to film it myself.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
As opposed to somebody.
We're faster, and it looks better.
Yeah, and the guys called me like, hey, we're ready for you. I'm like, yeah, well, I had to drive an hour and a half to the, you know, to the original place I could have asked them to come with me, but there were other people who needed them.
Well, that's the problem, is that you would have monopolized them and taken them away from others.
And there are people who will do that in this business.
Oh, it happens all the damn time.
And so we, whenever possible, never ask for a video team because, let's get to some funny stories.
Yes.
I'll tell you some funny stories.
Okay.
All right, so lessons we've learned along the way. One of the best programs I ever went on, and one of the most frustrating programs I ever did, was Bentley invited me to fly to China.
Yep, that was the wedding video, yeah?
Yes, to drive the new Continental.
Mm-hmm. That was a while ago.
That was a long time ago. And the coolest thing was, I'm like, how do I drive it? Because the Chinese don't allow you to use, I have an international driver's license.
Yeah.
They don't allow you to use those. You have to have a Chinese driver's license.
Yes.
And of course, I wasn't thinking this is a manufacturer. So I get to the airport. They kind of take me aside after I got through customs, and they take me to the police station at the Beijing airport, and they issue me a 4-day driver's license, Nathan. I still have it.
Yeah.
It's good for 4 days. And they're like, there you go. I'll sort it. And it was really cool, right? I mean, now I've got a Chinese driver's license.
Yep, for 4 days.
For 4 days, yeah. But it was a good solution. So, you know, all day to fly in, they did the presentation that night. Everybody was passed out. I mean, it was like, you know, we all were up for like 20 hours. Then we had dinner and then they did the presentation. And I swear like half of us were asleep before like the thing was over. Finally get to sleep. The next day we drive out to the Great Wall in the new Continental, which is beautiful and, you know, super luxurious.
Sure.
You know, it has like the champagne chiller in the back, you know, with the flutes, right? The crystal flutes. And this was when I was still like trying to work with the team, and I didn't have a videographer, and I wasn't good at like, I could shoot it myself, but I was kind of nervous about it. I've gotten good at it. I think I've gotten okay with it. Not good, but I'm passable since then. And they're like, I'm just trying to think if I should name the journalist. I don't want to name names. It was a print journalist. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I don't want to name any names. And they're like, so we drive up to the wall. It's lunchtime, and I know I have to do it over lunch. And I'm like, because I'm, you know, this is a lot of driving in this car. It was one of those programs where you just drive. And so I get to the wall, and then they have the car stage in front of the wall, beautiful. And I go to the team, and I'm like, could you film me? And they're like, sorry, but we are filming this print journalist who was, of course, after a while, the print people realized that there was like money and attention to be had by doing videos. Mm. So they all were given a task to do videos. And,
yep.
And there are very few print people who can transfer that skill set to video, right? Because the way print people think is, and this is, I'm not trying to diss them, but print is about telling, video is about showing.
Agree.
So if, like, Clarkson's good at doing both. He can do both. He can do like the Sunday Times review, and then he's good on camera. But very few people can actually do both, because most print people, instead of showing stuff, they want to talk and tell you about the car.
Yeah.
And that's boring on camera.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, we got this print guy, but he's got to do his review. We'll get to you. Just go grab some lunch. This will take like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have like 15 minute lunch and come back. Print guy still going at it. Then I'm standing there for 45 minutes while the print guy is stumbling just horribly through the review. Like he's got like a script. He can't get through the script, right? And I'm like, hey, guys, I need to film this car. Can you please help me? And they're like, don't worry. We're going to get this. A French chateau, right? So the next
in China.
The next stop was this beautiful French chateau. We'll grab you there. I'm like, okay, great, fine. So drive to the French chateau. I have to go to the bathroom, and turns out this is like a very popular place for weddings for Chinese people. Mm-hmm. And there's this young couple that are getting married, and there's a photographer, and we kind of talk, and they're like, do you mind if we get some pictures of us in front of the car for their wedding poster, right? Because it's a cool car, right? It's a Bentley Continental. I'm like, yeah, no problem, right? So I go to the bathroom, and then I get a call from the video crew. The print journalist is still working. We won't be able to make it to the chateau. And I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm just going to go for it myself. So I come from the bathroom, and this couple had decided that they were going to use this Bentley as the thing to like get out all their wedding pictures. So now they're not in front of the car, they're sitting in the back of the car.
Yep.
They've got the champagne flutes out, and they've poured champagne into the champagne flutes.
Geez.
And the videographer's in the front seat, and he's like, click, click. And I'm like, guys, I need the car. And they wouldn't leave. They would not get out of the freaking car. And I don't know, at that point, I was completely dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't forcibly move them.
Well, you could, but it would have been bad.
No, it would like an international.
You would have been in a Chinese gulag after that.
Yeah, and the time is ticking. We got to get back to Beijing.
Right.
And I'm in this.
This is what happens when you're a nice guy.
Yeah. And they literally took like half an hour. You know how wedding pictures are. You know, it's like move your head 2 centimeters to the left.
Yes.
It was the same thing.
And they're very serious about having opulent weddings.
Yeah,
it's part of the culture. Yes. So what ended up happening? Let's.
It got horrible. I did a video driving back to the hotel as the sun was setting that I am not proud of.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we've had this rule where we will not work with video crews because you can't rely on them. And not that they're not reliable, you just can't.
It depends on who they're working with. And that's where I had a similar problem, but not in China. I was actually in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And it was an event for Mitsubishi and for the Eclipse Cross. Now, I don't mind covering the lower end stuff, by the way, which is kind of my jam anyway. But in this case, this is a vehicle that's kind of for every man. And it's like, yeah, no problem. Easy to cover. I can do it myself. No sweat. And they even offered, hey, you know, one of our guys will help shoot your open and your close. I said, this is great. That guy disappeared. Not only did he disappear from the event, he was never at the event. He wasn't even there. There was nobody there. So I ended up like meeting a complete stranger. And I'm not even kidding when I say a complete stranger. This was not somebody who worked for Mitsubishi or anybody else. This is a guy off the street, basically. And I'm like, hey, can you hold this? This is back when we were still
doing cameras. And he held the camera for you?
Yeah, he held the camera. He was a meat tripod. And he held the camera so I could do my intro. And it worked out really good, too. I actually got really good light.
That's really creative and entrepreneurial.
Yeah, and I was worried he was going to run off of the camera. And I I was a little concerned about that.
Yeah, I would do it with my phone today.
I know. But it's the same phone, easier to run off with.
And more valuable.
Far more. And then, here's a really good one. Okay, so remember when I first covered the Lexus RX, or no, NX, when it first came out, I went to Seattle.
Yeah.
This is a very, I tell everybody this story. The old company that used to represent Toyota and Lexus, they're gone now. They used to do like drinks and, you know, clothing and binoculars and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden they're representing Toyota and Lexus. I have no problem telling the story because they're gone. Anyway, their people, some of them just really weren't really into it. And I didn't realize this because this is the first event with them. And I'm in Seattle. I'm on my own. Have a camera. Have a tripod. And I have it set up. And I go up to one of the people who works there. She was young, but she, I'm probably 23, 24 years old out of college, you know. And I said, hey, listen, I need to jump in front of this car. Could you do me a favor and just hit that red button? And I'll do my little thing, and you could just walk off and whatever. I just needed someone to start it because I didn't want to waste, you know, the chip on me running back and forth of the car. She looks at me. She reaches into her purse, pulls out her phone, and goes, I'm really uncomfortable with doing this, but I could totally film you on my phone. And I'm like, pushing a red button, but you're going to film me on your phone? What?
So I got a story like that.
Yeah.
I was on a Mercedes event, and there's another journalist who works for a weekly automotive news magazine.
Oh, yes.
And she was just starting. I'm not going to name names again. Mm. And she's like, there was this, you know what you want? You want action. So you want like stuff that's like water. If there's a water crossing, you want to see the water. And so we drove to this ranch and there was a water crossing and everybody was filming the Mercedes go through the water because you get that splash shot,
yeah.
Right? And I went up to her and she's kind of looking at it. And I went up to her and I'm like, you want me to film you? Because she didn't have a videographer as well. And she's like, oh, that would be great. And so she hands me her camera and she looks at me and she's like, do you know how to work this? And I'm like, yeah, I know how to work it. I mean, I was a one-man band before probably she was born. So anyway, yeah, you know what I mean? And then she's like, what you do is you see that red button?
Oh, God.
And I'm like, yes, I see the red button. She's like, you push it. And then when I'm done, you push it again. And I was like, okay, I think I can manage to push the red button and get you in frame.
There's a lot of people in this industry, both who work with us and against us, who look at us as complete and utter morons.
And she didn't trust me. She was like, you sure?
Sure you're okay with doing this? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of stories. There are a lot of stories, yeah. Roman, that we could regale. And some of them, I mean, are really hairy and crazy. In many cases, I don't want to go and just completely throw everybody under the bus, although some of them damn well deserve it.
Well, look, there's a lot of great – I just had a great experience with a videographer in Spain doing the Polestar. He was incredible. I have another friend who I've become friends with who shoots for JLR. He's incredible as a videographer. I'm not dissing the videographers, but the problem is that they have many different commitments, right? So they have to not only film the journalists that are there, but they also have to film
the product.
Because then the manufacturers – they like cry me a river because we'll send you this package of video, and to us that's meaningless. I'm like, that's great.
But we've been telling them this for years, for like 15 years, that we do not use your stuff. And there's different explanations too, by the way. It's not just because we do our own independent thing, but also it has to do with whether or not you guys are actually going to click on an image that we take versus what they take. And also, we have a website with several websites, and that goes there, so it's SEO suddenly. There's a lot of things that play into it.
And then there's a lot of technical things, like our videographers know our system of working. We have, we put up 18 to 20 videos a week, so we have this very, over the years, we've very well honed the system of how it works, so we're very efficient, so we can do this in an efficient manner and a quick manner so we can get the videos out there.
Right.
And that's how you be first. At least that's how we think you become first. But some of the videographers we work with don't know how that system works. So I'll give you an example. They'll shoot in RAW, right? Which is these giant files that you then have to color correct. And that's how you would shoot a commercial or you would shoot a movie. You would shoot it in RAW. And
that's
then you would,
super high-end stuff eventually, but you have to get there.
But we're like, we're a YouTube dude. Or like once I had a videographer who was new, overexposed everything. So I got the video back and looked like I was sitting, and reviewing the car in the sun and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
Or the files are so big that it takes them like days, right? When we shoot it ourselves, we have the file and we can edit it right away or transfer it to the office where editors can do it. You know, if these are giant, massive files in the hotel, you know, there's that rule, the nicer the hotel, the slower the internet.
Oh my God, that is so damn true.
I don't know how many nights I've spent up just trying to upload videos to, and if you shoot, give me a raw video in 4K, I mean, I'm just.
It's not going to, we're not going to.
So anyway, so you're right. I think we've kind of beat that dead horse. If you have any questions, let us know in the comments below. We'll try to answer them. But it's always challenging. It's gotten better. Now most manufacturers allow us to bring videographers. The one thing they have started doing, which is awfully tough from a competitive point of view, is they've decided to actually, in the past, what they would do is, because the magazines had like 3 months lead time, so they would have the program like 3 months before the car went on sale so that the magazine hit when the car was on sale.
Right.
Now what they're doing is the car's on sale and they have the program and then they embargo everything. And then if you want, you can go out there and get it at the dealership and review it.
In some cases.
And then we're sitting there with our hands tied behind our back and we have to wait for the embargo to end, even though the car's on sale and people are posting videos.
And we've been fighting it. It just happened to us again recently. And we fight it because the thing is, you are dealing with a dealership and their perspective and they want to sell the car.
Well, yeah. I mean, all the dealer salespeople are putting out videos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And look, some of the dealers, I actually give them credit. I've watched some of their videos, and in some cases, they actually might be a little critical towards it, but they're not going to over-criticize a vehicle that they want to sell and make a profit on. So you have to kind of keep that in mind when you're looking at the video and where the source is. But for us, it's additional competition that really shouldn't be there because, frankly speaking, we should have our embargo drop the same day the car goes on sale. That's what it should be, and that's what it used to be, and it's a real shame. But not everybody does that, which is fortunate. All right, we should probably move on. I'm sure we beat this to death, but we'll get back to this type of topic in the future because I'm sure there's lots of behind-the-scenes things that you guys are curious about. And ask us if you have any specific questions about behind-the-scenes stuff. And quickly, as Roman already said, the answer is no. We don't get paid for testimony. If we did, we wouldn't be considered journalists. And for those people who do get paid, they're not journalists. They are basically PR. Okay.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens. People crash cars. People drive too fast.
And we can't talk about a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I know we're not going to throw people under the bus. Yeah. But we've been in situations where, like, I'm like, biting my nails. Like, I think I'm going to die.
That's another issue is that sometimes we're put together with journalists who are terrible, are absolutely horrible behind the wheel.
Or old, really old.
Or really, really old and terrible.
I was on the Autobahn in a Tiguan with one of the older dudes. And, like, you know, on the Autobahn, you'd go only in the passing lane if you're passing.
If you're going to go past,
he was completely oblivious. And I was just sitting there trying to melt into the seat because people were, like, flashing their lights.
Yeah,
and
honking
their horn. And he was just completely – and I was like, you want me to drive? I think even he, like, understood that he was, like, in over his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, let me drive.
I had a guy – real quick. It was a Buick. It was back when the Buick – the little Buick that's based on the Chevy Cruze.
Yeah.
It started with a V. I forgot the name of it. It wasn't very popular. Little four-cylinder, nice little car, nothing special. Well, this guy is a particular journalist out of Orange County, but I won't say his name, print journalist. I'm paired with him. And this guy decides he's wearing racing shoes. That's already an indication that there's a real problem. You're bringing racing shoes to a little Buick event? I've seen people do that to Nissan Versa events. I think it's ridiculous.
It's always trouble. When they put on... You know, those race, whatever those things are called, know you're in for a rough afternoon.
And it's just like, I look down, I see that, and I look at him. As we're getting into the car, and as Roman knows, I have no problem editing myself. I just say what's on my mind, but I can be polite. And I said, hey, we're not really going to be going around a track in this thing. So, and he's like, oh, I just wear these. It's a habit, whatever. Yeah. The dude absolutely had this car sideways around corners and nearly killed me 9 times. And at one point, I had to unroll the window. I was starting to get car sick. And he laughed at first. He said, you're getting car sick. I said, you know what? Pull over, let me out. Just let me out.
I'm not
the only person who's done that.
That's the right move, yeah.
When you're just let me out of the damn car. Because there's no reason to – you're not helping the consumer by torturing the car in a way that they'll never torture it. Now, if that was a BMW M3 or something, totally different story. But would handle differently.
I was on a Jetta hybrid program. Remember the Jetta hybrid?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, right. That was a car that Jetta built ostensibly to compete with the fuel economy of the Japanese hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was when, like the Camry hybrid.
That was a while
ago. That was a long time ago. So I'm on the program, and this car It's not a sports car. So I'm in the car with a print magazine journalist for one of the Buff books. And he is flogging this thing to within an inch of its life. I mean, we are, like you said, we are going around corners at like 95, 105 miles an hour. And I turned to him like, you realize this is a Jetta hybrid, right? Yeah. No one's going to take this car above 90 miles an hour ever. And why are we doing 105?
Yeah.
And he was really old school. He was like, I got to test the driving dynamics of this thing. And I'm like, I don't think you do.
I not to that point.
It would be like, that's just silly. This is, you know, what you want to find out is what kind of fuel economy it's getting.
Yeah.
How does a trunk fit, you know, luggage? But dude, it's not a race car. It's not a sport. It's a Jetta hybrid.
And you could say, you could still go around a corner slightly fast and say, okay, it holds the grip and, you know, whatever. You could drive it like an enthusiast to a certain degree just for a little bit, but flogging it for an hour and beating it to death and making sure there are flat spots on the tires and roasting the brakes, yeah, I think you're going way above what the car's, you know, mission statement is. And this happens a lot. And frankly, we are now at a place, thank God, with TFL to where we can refuse that. We can basically say, no, let us out. We're not doing this. Fortunately, I think a majority of the people who are out there that we work with or have been paired with are usually pretty good about that.
Yeah, and it's not all. It's, you know, most of the time
it's just certain individuals.
Most of the time it's like, you know, especially where there's a program where they just give us to, if you're a manufacturer and you're listening to this, guys, if you trust us and you let us be creative, you're going to get a much better review from a manufacturer standpoint, because it's going to be fun and creative and interesting, and you're going to get a much better review from a potential customer point of view, because we'll be happy and we won't be stressed out. But if you force us to do this program that's basically was designed 30 years ago for print journalists, it ends up showing up in the work.
You look at your ROI, your return on your investment, because it does cost money to bring us out there, feed us, and put us in a car.
Trust us. We've been doing this a long time. We know what we're doing. Let us do what we do best. Anyway, we have a good question here.
Yes. Now, this is Eric. Eric is one of the members of our little Patreon group. And by the way, thank you, Eric, for supporting us. I really appreciate it. It's a bit of a letter here, so let me cut it down into its basics. He's in the North Virginia, D.C. metro area.
Yep.
And he is looking to get himself a fairly luxurious hybrid of some sort, rear drive, front drive, or all-wheel drive. He does have certain preferences. Now, his budget is up to $60,000, and he was looking at the Lexus ES350 or the Lexus ES300H because he really likes the trim of those, the ultra high-end versions of those vehicles. He likes the cushy ride. He really wants a cushy ride. And he likes the overall luxury, but he wants something that might handle a little bit better, a little bit faster. Those are slow cars. So he wanted our opinion about what other options are out there. And so I have a few that I came up with, but only a few, because it's actually kind of hard to find hybrid and plug-in hybrid electric cars. And by the way, he said no electric cars.
Okay.
Yes, that's direct.
No electric cars. No electric cars, Eric. You got it. So he's looking for a competitor to the ES.
Yes. And the ES is essentially, it replaces vehicles like the Avalon from Toyota. And it is on a similar platform to the older Toyota Camry, although there's now a new Camry out there, which, by the way, is quite good. We'll talk about its competitor in a minute. Okay, so here's a couple different choices out there. They're all under $60,000, one of which we had, I thought, was remarkably good, a little bit on the sportier side, and that was the Volvo S60 Recharge. It's one of the few PHEVs on this list, other than a BMW, which I'll get to in a second, about $52,000. A lot of good, little tiny bit of bad. The good is over 40 miles you can get just on the battery alone. The thing is remarkably efficient and fast. The fastest car on this list, faster than the BMW, faster than almost anything. The thing is just a rocket. I think it's a pretty comfortable car. Medium-sized rear seat, could be bigger. Overall, drives a little bit more like a sports car than, say, a luxury car if you had to divide the two. But I think it's a very luxurious, slick car. It's my own personal opinion. You've driven it.
Yeah, I love Volvos. You know, I've owned a Volvo. I think they're the un-German car. You know what I mean?
They are. But it's an interesting cross between different things. And the cool part is that you can be in the hood with a Volvo, or you can be in Beverly Hills with a Volvo, and either place, it's fine.
Yeah, it's very neutral. It's kind of in that same place in the market like Mazda, right? They're not quite luxurious.
I think they're a little bit more
upscale, higher, yeah.
But Mazda's
but
quite
they're
good.
Still not quite like where the Germans are.
Yeah. I agree with you. One final thing on this, one note is that he wants to keep the car for up to 15 years. Now, I cannot say whether or not that Volvo will be a 15-year car. The Toyotas most likely will be. I just don't know because I haven't been out.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Get an EV, dude, if you want a 15-year car.
Yeah, see, he said no EVs, so there you go, Roman, and your evil EVs.
But that's the one that's going to be the most maintenance-free by far. Yeah,
he didn't say maintenance-free. He said reliable. He wants something that lasts 15 years.
Yeah. Did you read their latest stories about EVs? There are stories out there now where EVs – I know I sound like a fanboy, which I in some ways probably am – but there's stories out there now where EVs could last longer than you could live, as long as you replace the battery, you know, and not like every 2 years like an iPhone, but let's say every 20 years, then there's nothing that really wears out on them, right? Tires, obviously, brakes.
And brakes eventually,
But there's no fuel pumps, no alternators, nothing, no pistons that wear out.
No, they can be very long-lived, and I'm proof of that. I mean, I had a beat-up old little electric car, and it was absolutely fabulous for 3 years, and we beat up on it even more. Trust me on that, because my daughter drove it. So let's move on. Another option is still a Lexus one, and that's the RX 350h.
I don't like the new one.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny. Other people do.
Yeah,
so it's
fine.
Kind of a mixed match.
I just don't like the thing. There's somehow the magic. I think Lexus lost the magic in this latest generation. I think
it looks a lot like the other ones. Is my issue.
Well, first, the locks are horribly hard to operate.
Yeah, that is an issue.
And every time I, you know, have to fight something, it just turns. I'm getting to the point now where I'm really tired of like having to fight technology, and it's becoming more and more often, right? And I was thinking to myself, I'll give you an example. And I don't know why they did this, Nathan, but you know this new QX that I was driving.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm breaking any embargoes here. You know how you have a scroll bar or a little ball on the steering wheel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that lets you move through different menus?
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, and I should have asked the designer, but I didn't ask him, the one on the Infiniti is sideways. So you don't scroll up and down. You scroll like this.
Oh,
and
because he thinks it's pages like a book.
Well, I'm thinking, no, it's like the ball is crooked.
Oh, crooked.
Yeah, it's like at a 30-degree angle.
So it's not completely horizontal or vertical.
Vertical, it's crooked.
Oh.
And I'm thinking maybe the reason they did that was because if your hand's on the steering wheel, you're
flipping upwards.
Look at my thumb. It's not going up and down.
Yeah.
It's going kind of bottom to top and a little bit left to right. And I think, but it's super confusing because now you're used to one of those little scroll balls that goes up and down.
Right.
And you try to do up and down and it won't spin because now it's going sideways.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this seems like a classic example of like overthinking the technology.
Okay, Roman, they've been doing that to us. I'd say for the past 10 years, it's been going crazy. Think about what BMW and Mini did with the turn signals for a while. Remember how ridiculous that turn signal stock was when it would return and it did its thing? Or how about transmissions?
You know what? I've learned to once again, I sound like an EV fanboy, but I've really learned to like the way the Tesla Cybertruck does a turn signal. So at first, I thought I'd hate that. I thought I would hate those little arrows. But you know what the arrows do? They self-cancel on a two-lane road. So let's say you're going down the highway, and I use this all the time, and you want to go from like the inside lane to the outside lane.
Right.
In a normal car, right, the Germans had this thing where you would push it, and it would do three like blinks. Or in
a lot of cars actually do that.
Or in a typical car, you would pull it down the stock, and then when you move over, you push it back.
That's so damn hard.
But the Tesla is smart enough like to know that you hit it once, and once you finish your lane change, it just cancels it automatically. I think that's smart, Nathan. That is smart technology.
A majority of the new cars today, if you touch the turn signal stock, just give it a light touch, it'll do three flashes, which is typical, and that's more than adequate to
get
from one lane to
another. But that's not a solution.
What do you mean it's not a solution? It works fine.
Because I forget that there's that like light touch, and so sometimes you know I don't get you do the light touch when you want to like make a turn, and you're at a static turn, like say you're turning left, and you do the light touch, and then you're like, you should be signaling the whole time until you make the left turn, but then you only do three signals because you've got this like stock that does two things with, you know, the difference in light or heavy, you know, motions.
Oh.
This is much simpler.
It's not.
It is.
It's overthinking super, and a very simple regular turn signal.
I was with you. I thought I would hate it, but you know, I hate the little tiny steering wheel. I hate the fact that it's more like a yoke. That is just, you know, I love that one on the Infiniti. It's huge. It's massive. It's wonderful. You know what else the Infiniti does?
It has a proper gear lever as opposed to a swipey, switchy
thing.
No,
it's got buttons. It's got buttons. But that's not what it does. You know, here's another thing I hate, and this is for all of you aspiring car designers. I know you love minimalism and simplicity. So on the steering wheel, and I think I'm bringing embargoes on a driving impression, you know how you have the functional controls in some vehicles, like the Mustang I'm driving, they're separate buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. So if you want to turn the volume up, there's a button for up, and if you want to turn it down, it's down. On the Infiniti, it's one big piece of plastic.
Oh, so everything's on the same piece of plastic.
Yeah, and it's that haptic.
That's what Volkswagen's
doing. It's that haptic BS where you're not sure if you're turning up the music or turning on.
Well, is it haptic? Does it respond to your touch? Do you feel it?
No, you can't tell. You're kind
so
of
it's
just,
not haptic even.
No.
It's just a piece of plastic.
No, the screen is haptic, but that part isn't. And so you don't know if, like, let's say I'm trying to figure out whether I need to engage cruise control or, you know, autopilot 2.1. You're not sure because there's no button that's separate from the other button.
That is, unfortunately, a waste of just about everybody's time. I can't stand over... They're trying to make things simple, thinking that they're going to make your life easier, yet they've had the perfect set of controls in cars for years and years and years, and they take that away, and I can't stand it. Many of you agree with me, but let's continue because we have to finish...
Oh, I know. Let me finish one more thing about the QX. Eric will be fine. You'll be fine, Eric. We'll get you a car. Don't worry. So I'm asking. So QX80 is now a twin turbo V6. Yeah, that actually puts out 100 more pound-foot of torque, over 150 more horsepower than the old.
And I believe it's lighter as well.
Yeah, and Andre said this, which is true. He said that would have been the drivetrain in the new Titan if there were a new Titan.
If there were a new Titan, right, it would most likely be that drivetrain. Is it a 10-speed or is it a 9-speed?
9-speed.
Okay, so that's still a 9-speed that they've been
but
using.
But no more. I think it's a 5.6, right, in the old one. It's the old 5.6.
They're killing them all off.
Right.
Which is another pity because this is a decent V8.
So it tows a lot, 8,500.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm there and I'm like, does it have a brake controller? And they're like, no. And then I'm like, well, then it really tows 3,000 because in California, you can only tow 3,000.
Yeah. Once you get up to 3,500 pounds, you must have a brake controller.
And so then I'm talking to like one of the marketing guys, and I'm like, hey, dude, I think you're leaving a lot of money on the table because your competitors certainly do have built-in brake controllers. Mm-hmm. And these are not expensive things. And he was having a hard time understanding how a brake controller works. So he thought that without a brake controller, the car still brakes the trailer.
Oh.
But it doesn't. It just, you know, you got that 7-pin, it's there. You got the big, you know, hitch, it's there. But you plug in that 7-pin, and without a brake controller, all you're doing is actuating the lights, right? The brake lights and the turn signal.
Right. It's a brake controller. You can adjust the gain, which essentially is the amount of pressure that the brakes in the trailer put on when you brake.
So without brakes in the trailer in California, you can only tow 3,000.
Yes.
Because otherwise, you've got a car, I think this thing weighs like 6.5, maybe 7,000 pounds, that's being, you know, pushed by an 8,500 pound weight going down a hill.
Right.
The brakes aren't going to be able to stop it.
Well, what you'll have to do is you'll have to go to an aftermarket setup somewhere. E-brake or Cliff or any of those other ones, even U-Haul, and have them put in a brake controller.
Which is a pain in the ass.
It is. And it's an unnecessary issue because, frankly, a lot of other automakers either have an option to put that in later on.
They have it
in their standard.
They have a module that you can add, but it's also a pain in the ass.
So they do have a module for this.
But you have to go to the dealer and it has to be added on.
Okay. Well, at least you can do that. Thank God.
Or you have to get a wireless one, which is also a pain in the ass. We know because we have one.
Yeah, I mean, it works okay, but it's still something that just, it's extra money that you shouldn't have to pay. You already got the towing package.
So he's like, let me find out why we don't have a built-in brake control. I'm like, thank you very much. And so I go talk to like one of the engineers was there, I think like one of the lead engineers, and he was like, oh, we don't have one because only 6% of Infiniti buyers tow. And so I'm telling the story to Nick, and he's like, maybe that's because you don't have a brake controller.
Well done, Nick. That's awesome.
And I'm like, good point, dude.
And you got to think about second and third buyers of these vehicles because an awful lot of them, we've even met one guy who bought its baby brother, the Armada, and he did it specifically because he wanted to get a good vehicle for towing, and it was a used one. Now, I know a lot of you are like, well, new is the only thing that's important to them because they're not going to profit off used. That's wrong because those cars will go to service bays at your Infiniti and whatnot. So the fact is that you really, that 6%, I don't think that's a reliable number. Hey, can we get back to this?
Because yeah, what's the next thing? BMW?
All right. So the BMW, it's their 3 Series E, and you can get it with the xDrive. It's the 33. And it ranges between $45,000 and $55,000. Now, both of these vehicles, both the Volvo, which I didn't get to finish, and also the BMW, do not have very big batteries. But more importantly, they don't have particularly fast charging. 7 watts with the Volvo and 3.6 watts with the BMW, meaning that you are plugging in at home. And I think the BMW has a little over 20, I think it's 22 miles range on battery alone, but it's really a little bit more performance oriented, so it's lighter on its feet. But the Volvo is still stupid fast. Those are the PHEVs. Now,
I'm bored. I don't want to know.
No, you know, everybody's bored. You've been talking for the past half an hour about all of your experiences, and I'm going to finish with Eric. So let me do the last one. Here's the last one. Okay, the Honda Accord, $43,000. It has a hybrid, really good car. We've driven it before. Very cheap option for you. And best part is that it has, I think, a very nice, comfortable interior. There, I'm done.
You know who's good at this? Everyday driver. They're much better at this than we are.
Well, I'm not the one who was going on and on for an hour about this.
Eric, I got the perfect car for you. Forget hybrid. Forget a battery. Think forced induction. Nathan, a 5-year-old Audi RS7 is the perfect car for Eric. Put some lead in your pencil, Eric. Go get yourself like a 5-year-old Audi
RS7. He's never going to be a patron again.
And you're going to be the happiest man in the world, because those things are depreciating like rocks.
For a good reason.
I love that vehicle. I think it's 450 horsepower. Yes. Forget the Honda, forget the Volvo. Show up at home. Your wife will maul you when she sees this. Yeah, the thing is sexy as you know what. Yeah. Your dog will see just how sexy, Roman, or cat.
Lost another patron. Thank
you. No, we did. This thing is just, oh my God.
It's not, because you know why?
What's wrong with the RS7?
Because it's not a new car. He wants a new car. He wants a new car. That was what
all
he
right,
said.
Then they're like $124,000.
Yes, he can't afford it.
So go to the bank, mortgage the house, get yourself a new Audi.
And don't get the A3. It's okay, but it's
You have to admit the RX-7 is better.
He said he wants a PHEV, so that's why I went through this, or an EV.
Forced induction.
Not an EV. Anyway, okay.
Oh, you know what my friend Steve got?
Huh?
You know what my friend Steve bought? We got to finish up.
Oh, yes, let's finish it, because it's actually a really good car, but it is boring, isn't it?
Well, it's perfect for him.
Oh, yes. Roman just went back on his words with his best friend.
He got the Venza.
He got a Toyota Venza, which is still in production this year in the United States. I think by next year it's going to be gone, because they have the new Crown and all that other stuff that are coming. The Crown...
Insignia. Yeah, Crown Signia is replacing it.
Okay. Anyway, the point is that for now it's out there. And we've driven it, and it's always been a really interesting car for me for one particular reason.
He loves it. He got the Limited. In
the
black.
Nice.
And yeah, it's got every, you know what it's got? It's got that, I think it's called monochromatic roof, where you can, you know, push the switch and it goes from clear to opaque.
Yeah.
How cool is that? And I remember when like only Mercedes and Porsche had that like 5 years ago, and now it's in a Toyota. How cool is that?
The first time I ever saw that was actually on a Star Wars
ride. Maybe it's not monochromatic. It's something chromatic.
Yeah, yeah. And basically what it does is it has little tiny metal filaments that when you hit it, they get electrically charged, and they will turn one thing, and then when you hit it again, the charge dissipates.
Yeah, it's badass.
And you can see through it. Yeah. And the cool thing about that car is that really high-tech, extremely efficient, very comfortable, and it has functioning air conditioning, and he lives in Chicago, which is, if you don't have air conditioning, you will explode. Like, people actually will combust on highways. So,
and it also is all-wheel drive, which is perfect for Chicago winters, and it's got a lot of room.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then Japanese do this thing where they build kind of like, it's kind of a tall sedan in some ways. I mean, it's more of a crossover.
Yeah, it is.
But it's still tall. And so as we get older, Nathan, you know, I get out of that Mustang out there and I make that old man, ooh, you know what I mean?
I've been driving my wife's Mini around, and I do the, getting it, and it's not even that low.
Oof.
It's a,
I know, it's like, oof.
Yeah, it's folding our fat selves in half in order to get into these cars.
And the Japanese have an aging demographic population, so they realize that the seat height has to be about the same height as your butt.
Yeah.
So you just slide right in. It's perfect. I'm not saying Steve's old. I'm saying I'm old.
But Steve is also a lot shorter than you are. Whereas you would be a freakishly tall Japanese person.
I am tall. Having been in Japan, I was tall.
Even here in America. So good news for him. Congratulations on getting what I think is a very decent car. He didn't want anything overexciting, and he didn't listen to you about getting an RS or a GT or something like that. He got himself a proper car.
I think this car has the latest Toyota safety sense, and also the latest, because it's a Limited, so it's the top of the line. So I'm sure it's got, I forget what Toyota calls it, lane tracing or lane, I think they call it lane keep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me how he was like amazed by adaptive cruise control. And I was like, if that's amazing, wait till you turn on.
Didn't he have like a 15-year-old Subaru?
Yeah.
So, and by the way, we said, you know, it's kind of a crappy
240,000 miles.
And you guys were like, oh, if it lasts that long, it's not a crappy car. No, what we mean to say is that, yes, it is an older crappy car because it's just been falling to pieces.
No,
I have no problem with old Subarus. Actually, I prefer the older ones over the newer ones.
The dashboard is lit up like a Christmas tree.
That's what we're talking about. Anyway, so he has a new car. Congratulations. That's wonderful. We're going to pop a cork of champagne and everything else is going to be great. And I think this pretty much wraps it up. But the bottom line here, folks, is that we want to bring you from time to time more behind the scenes about what we do, because a lot of you guys are curious about it and some people kind of paint a different picture. And we're just trying to be completely honest with what we do.
And Steve, go trade that in on a used RS7. I'm sure your wife.
I'm sure Steve would be thrilled about that, especially putting the grandkids in the back.
It's a hatchback.
Oh, there you go.
It's got room in the back.
Why didn't you suggest that at the first?
Have you seen the exhaust in that thing?
Yes.
They're like the size of cantaloupes.
And as awesome as it is and everything else, I'm trying to help our people who actually call in or write in. Which, by the way, if you want to see all of our newest stuff, go to alltfl.com. That is where our newest material is.
And if you want to see me melt in 100-degree heat,
yeah,
trying to show you the difference between the two generations of QX80, you're going to enjoy that video because I was a little salty and a little grumpy by the time I got there.
Not that you ever are.
Oh, okay. No. Have you seen all the comments how grumpy? Am I that grumpy?
Yes.
Am I really?
I've known you for 15 years.
Was it grumpy or am I getting grumpier?
You're getting grumpier. You yell at grass to grow faster. I think you scare kittens. You know, it's just like, don't you be happy and friendly with me.
Well, guys, thank you for watching and listening, and we shall see you next time. Ciao.
See ya.
Oh, all TFL.
All TFL.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.